is the placebo effect. Whatever we did last week to there, the song out there in the back is so much better.
Good.
So much better.
Good. It was like crazy loud before?
Well, not only that, but even before this, for a lot of people who spoke rather softly, you couldn't hear them. Now.
Oh, interesting. So the blend is all fine?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, at least.
From their perspective, from several people that.
From the morning prayer group, they go, what?
From the majority.
What'd you do with the sound system? I don't know, I don't know. Father said we didn't do anything. You did something.
I.
Placebo.
I, no, I did, but I made adjustments last week.
Yeah. Well, it worked, don't touch it.
Good, good, good.
Well, I can tell you what to do. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, forever and ever.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Francis Cabrini Parish. Today is the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. As we begin our celebration, please stand as you are able and join us in reciting the entrance antiphon found on your order of worship. O sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. In his presence are majesty and splendor, strength and honor in his holy place.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the celebration of Holy Mass this Sunday. And to celebrate this mystery more worthily, I invite us now to call to mind our sins and ask the Lord for his forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask, Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and to you, my brothers and sisters, pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Give you thanks for your
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A first reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday. In the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is His Excellency, and Ezra, the priest, scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, "Go eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared. For today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." The word of the Lord.
Your words, O Lord, are spirit.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons. And we were all given to drink of one spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. If a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it does not, for this reason, belong any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it does not, for this reason, belong any less to the body. Okay. All right. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor again to the head, to the feet, I do not need you. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with greater propriety, whereas our more presentable parts do not need this. But God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to a part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have come the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The word, interpret, okay. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events
that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. As we just heard in the Gospel, the Lord is proclaiming liberty to the captives and freedom to the oppressed at this very Mass. And in order for us to appreciate the gifts of freedom and liberty, it is important that we recall the times that we have been in situations of oppression or captivity in the past. Maybe one day we got to a point in life where we did not have choices. Things were rather chosen for us, and we fell captives to someone else's will or good pleasure. Maybe another time we had choices, but none of them were good. And then we felt trapped, knowing that whichever path we took, we would be facing suffering or pain. Maybe at one point in life we fell captives to a certain narrative that was being told about us and that stayed in people's minds without giving us the chance or the freedom to prove otherwise. In terms of oppression, maybe at one point we felt oppressed by someone, be it at home or at work or in school, perhaps because of that person's extremely high expectations that we were not able to meet, or maybe because they just did not like us. Maybe at another point we sinned, and even though we tried to do better the next time and were forgiven by God, the memory of that one sin would not let us move forward, and thus we felt oppressed by the burden of the past. Maybe at times, and I would say oftentimes, we are oppressed by the enemy of our souls, who seeks to influence our imagination, our thoughts, our emotions, having us imagine, think, or feel things that are contrary
to the name of Christians. These are only a few examples of forms of oppression and captivity that many of us, if not most of us, can relate to. And the good news is that the Lord Jesus is offering liberty to the captives and freedom to the oppressed today from this very ambo, from this very podium. As Catholics, we believe that when the priest proclaims the gospel, when the priest reads the gospel within Mass, it is Jesus speaking to us. In the same way that it is Jesus the one that speaks when the priest takes bread and says, "This is my body." Imagine that at the end of Mass today, during the announcements, I said, "Next week, in the Mother Cabrini Hall, we will be hosting a conference on freedom, Tuesday at 5 p.m. And the keynote speaker will be Jesus." If such was the case, would we attend that conference? And if we went, and I believe most of us would, with what expectation and desire would we not listen to his words, let alone enjoy his presence in our midst? It is Jesus coming to our parish and speaking to us anyways. The good news is that, again, as Catholics, we believe that such conference takes place at every Mass. For it is truly Jesus speaking to us when the gospel is read. And what he says in the gospel, he accomplishes it. He makes it happen. In the gospel for today, he proclaimed liberty and freedom. And he even said at the end of his words, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." So today, a couple of minutes ago, the Lord freed us from any oppression and captivity. At the very moment that we heard his words a couple of minutes ago again. Maybe for some, this freedom will lead them to confession, where we are set free from the paralyzing power of sin. Maybe for others, this freedom will lead us to change sinful habits or patterns of vice into good and virtuous practices. Now, going back to the first reading from the book of Nehemiah, when the priest had finished reading the word of God, all the people answered with their hands raised high, "Amen, amen." And then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Today, we just heard the word of God proclaimed to us. The words of Jesus himself, actually. Maybe we don't have to raise our hands right now, but certainly we should raise our thoughts to God. And also, maybe we don't have to fall prostrate, face to the ground right now, but we can certainly bow down our hearts and prides before the Lord and adore him and thank him. For he alone can set us free, give us freedom. And he indeed has done that. May we listen to his words carefully and attentively, for they truly accomplish what they intend. Now we profess our faith in God, saying, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, he was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered a death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We are part of the body of Christ, which reaches to the ends of the earth. Let us reach out in prayer for all in need.
Okay. For the church, may we strive to realize that we are body of Christ called to bring life to a weary world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For leaders of governments, may their decisions show a deep respect for all human life. Let us pray to the Lord. For Catholic schools everywhere, may they continue to form young people in the gospel way of life. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our country, may we cultivate a profound reverence for life from conception to natural death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our parish, may we realize our Christian responsibility to reach out to members of the body of Christ who are in pain. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the successful completion of our new Eucharistic Adoration Chapel, for more needed dedicated adorers in the chapel, and for a deepening devotion to the Eucharist in our parishes. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick, may they know healing through care of the body of Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the prayers written in our prayer intention book, and for all the needs we offer in the silence of our hearts. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have fallen asleep in the hope of rising again, especially those who have recently died, Lucille Franschek, Clyde Elhert, and Shirley Peters. May God wipe away their offenses and grant them rest and peace. We pray to the Lord. We pray also for Francis Peters, for whom this Mass is offered. We pray to the Lord.
O God of life, hear the prayers of your people gathered around the table of your word. Keep us close to you and to one another. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Accept our offerings, O Lord, we pray, and in sanctifying them, grant that they may profit us for salvation through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity, and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through Christ our Lord. Through him, the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity,
together with Francis, our Pope, and Jerome, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the Blessed Apostles, with Saint Francis Cabrini, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, and informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other this sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that receiving the grace by which you bring us to new life, we may always glory in your gift through Christ our Lord.
St. Francis Cabrini School will host an open house and pancake breakfast next Sunday, January 30th, from 9 a.m. until noon. Please plan to attend and learn more about our school and all the great things happening there. Signups continue for our Adoration Chapel. Please visit our website at wbadoration.org for all the details. We are especially in need of filling hours from 7 p.m. on Sunday evening through Monday morning. Thank you for your time. Please note that throughout the month of January, Section 6 will be reserved for those who wish to wear masks and sit every other pew at all weekend masses.
The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Till the harvest is complete.
I don't have to bring the green one, right? This one too?
No, I think
you probably have.